Good morning. Thank you for tuning into Bible Talk this morning, presented by the County Line Church of Christ, which meets at County Line and Miller Roads in St. Joseph, Missouri, located just northwest of the new shopping area on the North Belt Highway. We would like to invite you this morning to worship with us at 9:30 a.m. for Bible study and 10:20 a.m. for worship, and then 4 p.m. this afternoon for worship. And we also meet Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for Bible study. I would like to talk to you today concerning the question, what must I do to be saved? This is the greatest question man has ever asked. It deals with his own soul, the most precious and priceless gift that God has made. In Matthew 16 and verse 26, we read, "Therefore, what shall a man be profited if he shall gain the whole world and forfeit his life or lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his life or his soul?" Yes, the value of the soul is priceless in God's sight. And you and I must realize that we are responsible for our own souls. Now, in order to talk about the salvation of man, we must first establish the truth that man is lost. Sin separates from God. What is sin? Well, sin is lawlessness. 1 John 3 and verse 4. If we go back to the prophets in the Old Testament, we see the picture more clearly in Isaiah, that's Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, where the inspired prophet there says, "Behold, Jehovah's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you so that he will not hear." Notice your iniquities, your sins, not the sins of Adam, as some refer to as original sin, not the sins of your parents or anyone else's sins, but your sins. The precept is further pointed out in Ezekiel chapter 18 and verses 1 through 4, first of all. And there in Ezekiel 18, 1 through 4, the word of Jehovah came unto me again, saying, "What mean ye that use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge? As I live, saith the Lord, you shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Then over in verse 20 of Ezekiel 18, you also see, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." The context there in Ezekiel 18 is 17-18 is talking about when the new order would come, would be the gospel, the New Testament, that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, would bring. Romans 3 and verse 23 includes you and me when it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We also see in passages like 1 John and chapter 1 and verses 8 and 10, there it says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." And then verse 10, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Before you will become interested in being saved, dear listener, you will have to be convinced that you are lost. You must but realize that you are displeasing God because of sin, and that you will be eternally lost because of it, if you do not turn and do his will. Is the fear of God in your heart, dear Bible student, as it should be? In Luke chapter 12, I wanted to look at verses 4 and 5 of that book. As the inspired writer there tells us, Luke chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, Jesus says, "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will warn you whom you shall fear. Fear him who after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." And so we need to understand, in fact, that This is involved in the answer to the questions, why have I been put here upon this earth? You know, many people want to know, why are we here? What is it all about? The Bible answers these questions. Let's go back again to the Old Testament to see some inspired truth there concerning this subject. We'll have to go to Ecclesiastes, and I want to read the last two verses of Ecclesiastes concerning why we're here upon this earth. And of course, the writer there tried to find that answer in wealth and riches and wisdom, worldly wisdom and power and might and all of these things, riches and pleasure that people seek after today. But that's not why we're here, and that's not where true happiness is found. The end of the matter is seen in the last two verses of Ecclesiastes. And there the inspired writer says, "For this is the end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty or whole of man. For God will bring every work into judgment with every hidden thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Now this fear that we're talking about is not a dread fear that causes one to flee, but in reality it is a reverential fear that involves deep respect and produces obedience to the Almighty God of the universe. This involves not a mere fear of His power and righteous retribution, but a wholesome dread of displeasing Him. And so we read passages like Philippians 2 and verse 12, where it says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." This is that reverential fear that we've been talking about. And in 1 Peter, let's look at 1 Peter 1, and reading verses 14 through 17, it says, "We're to be as children of obedience, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lusts in the time of your ignorance, but like as He who called you is holy, be ye yourselves also holy in all manner of living. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on Him as Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to each man's work, pass the time of your sojourning in fear." Also in the second chapter of 1 Peter, and looking at verse 17, it says there, "Honor men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." And so we see responsibilities that we have, and fearing God is at the top of the list, this reverential fear. Ask yourself this question, my friend. Do you fear God as you should, as these scriptures teach, as the Bible tells us to be involved in? Are you seeking to please Him by doing the things that He commands you to do? We hope and pray that you are. Let's look next at salvation from sin. This is made possible not because of what man has done, but what God did. So we read passages like Titus chapter 3. And let's read verses 3 through 7 of Titus chapter 3 to get this this picture on this subject. We'll begin at verse 3. It says, "For we were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love toward man appeared, not by works done in righteousness, which we did ourselves, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior." And then verse 7, "That being justified by His grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." And another passage we'll look at is Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verses 6 and 8. And there it says in verse 6, "For while we were yet weak in due season, Christ died for the ungodly." And again in verse 8, "But God commendeth His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." This is why Jesus Christ came to this earth. And so there are many passages that deal with this. We'll look at Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. And we see here the angel speaking the Lord appearing unto him and talking here to Joseph. And it says, and she, being Mary his wife, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for it is he that shall save his people from their sins. And so we see this among many other passages that show this is why Jesus came to this earth. We also find that he's going to come again, and he's going to receive those who wait for him. So we look at a passage in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 26 through 28. And there it says, else must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once at the end of the ages he hath been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And inasmuch as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this cometh judgment, so Christ also, having been once offered to bear the sins of many, shall appear a second time apart from sin to them that wait for him unto salvation. So the question comes to us, will I be among those who are properly waiting for our Savior? Think about it, dear Bible student. Although Jesus Christ died for all men, making it possible that all men could be saved, we find that only those who respond to his word through proper obedience will be promised salvation. Back in Hebrews chapter 5 and looking at verses 8 and 9, it says there concerning Jesus, though he was a son, yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became unto all them that obey him the author of eternal salvation. This brings us back to the question, what must I do to be saved? This question should be on the lips of every person, even as it was on the lips of the Philippian jailer as he besought Paul and Silas in the middle of the night in Acts 16 and verse 30. What must I do to be saved? Is it on your lips this morning, dear listener? Notice quickly this sentence. What? That is used interrogatively in asking the specification of an identity, a quantity, a quality. What? Next word is must. That's a requirement of necessity, an obligation. Must. What must I? That's the ego, the self. It's not someone else. It's not what someone can do for me, but what must I do? And do is to perform. It's an action or actions to carry out, to fulfill, to bring to completion, to finish, to deal with as is required. And then to be saved. That's the end result of doing what must be done. Let's look at a few things that Jesus said. We go back to, first of all, Luke. And we'll look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, first of all. Luke 6 and verse 46. He says there, and listen to this very carefully, and why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Again, Matthew's account in Matthew chapter 7, we find this is a statement from Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. And there it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Also in the 12th chapter of Matthew, and looking at verse 50, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother, my sister, my mother. So we must understand these passages and ask that question, are we fearing God and working righteousness? If not, then why not begin now? Why not begin today to do that very thing? You are listening to Bible Talk here on KFEQ 680 AM, which is presented by the County Line Church of Christ, meeting at the corner of County Line and Miller Roads. And this is located up northwest of the new shopping area on the Belt Highway, North Belt Highway. We invite you again to worship with us this morning at 9:30 AM for Bible study, and then 10:20 for worship, and then 4 p.m. this afternoon for worship. We also meet Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for Bible study. If you would like to receive a Bible correspondence course through the mail, or you would like to have a home Bible study, whichever you prefer, just give us a call at area code 816-279-4737, and we'll return your call and try to make arrangements for that at no charge, of course. That's area code 816-279-4737. As we continue this morning on this great and most important question of what must I do to be saved, there are many different teachings, unfortunately, today by men concerning this question. But which one's right? Who's right? Well, the answer, of course, must be only the Bible is right. As Paul said in Romans 3 and verse 4, let God be found true, but every man a liar. In other words, if what you have been taught is different from what the inspired apostles taught through the writings of the New Testament, then you need to change your beliefs and practices to conform to the written Word of God. And of course, that goes for me too. That goes for all mankind. Well, let's look at a little background. Again, while Jesus was upon the earth, he taught many truths concerning the kingdom of God. For example, he said in Mark 9 and verse 1, he said, there are some here of them that stand by who shall in no wise taste of death till they see the kingdom of God come with power. In the kingdom, there were repentance and remission of sins were taught, and we find that this was beginning from Jerusalem's, because Jesus told the apostles in Luke 24, verses 46 through 49, that they were to wait in Jerusalem until they were clothed with power from on high. In Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 and verse 8, we see here the same statement being made again to the apostles, and they were to wait in Jerusalem. They were to wait for the promise of the Father, of the Holy Spirit coming to them. And there in verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So we see this promise of the kingdom being established back in the first century, and it was established when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, and that took place in Acts chapter 2. It was fulfilled and began there. The kingdom was preached. The gospel was preached. People obeyed the gospel and became Christians, children of God, beginning at Acts 2, verses 1 and following. And so this is what Jesus had promised back in John 16, 12, and 13 also. And so this complete revelation that we have with us today began on Pentecost. In the book of Acts, as is recorded history concerning the happenings of the early church, let us seek truth in the apostles' writings instead of just actual sayings of Jesus, for they are both from heaven. Many today pay little attention to the book of Acts, when in reality, complete revelation unfolded there for us to follow is very important. It shows us what happened as these inspired apostles were guided by the Holy Spirit, and what they told people to do back in the first century is the same thing that your uninspired preacher or religious teacher or leader should be telling you to do today, including myself. Remember, dear listener, the standard is the Word of God and the Word of God only. It's not any leaders and religious organizations. It's not religious organizations. It's only the Word of God. So we have to go to the Word of God to find the true teaching, whether we've been taught that or not. God's way of salvation is the answer to what must I do to be saved. Well, let's look at these things very quickly in the rest and remainder of our time this morning. First, we find that we must believe. And let's go to a few passages and look at that. For example, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the chapter on faith, it says there in verse 6, without faith it is impossible to be well-pleasing unto him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek after him. And of course, many passages on faith you're very familiar with, because that's what a lot of the religious leaders talk about, faith, And so passages like John 8:24, where it says, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for except you believe that I am, you shall die in your sins. In other words, we've got to believe the truth, and the truth teaches that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is God the Son, but he's also fully man, and many people do not believe that today. Let's go over to look at Acts 16 and verses 30 and 31 and get another insight on faith or belief. And here it says in Acts 16, 30 and 31, where Paul was telling the Philippian jailer not to do any harm to himself. Verse 20, and he called for lights, he sprang in, and trembling for fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out, and he said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? There's that question we're talking about this morning. And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house. And then we're going to come back to this passage in a moment. And I want to ask you the question. Many people today stop right there at that verse, and they teach the false doctrine of faith only, that all you have to do is just believe. If you accept Christ as your personal Savior, he saves you at that moment. Unfortunately, no inspired apostle ever taught that doctrine. In fact, if you look at this context here in Acts 16, go beyond verses 31 and look at verses 32 and 33. He didn't teach him that he would be saved if he just mentally accepted Jesus as the Messiah, because he had to do some teaching here. And so verse 32, it says, and they spake the when he said in verse 31, I overlooked a thought here, that he said, Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house. Again, if you look at verse 31 very carefully, you see that he wasn't telling the Philippian jailer that if he believed, all of his house would be saved also, just because he believed. He was talking about that through belief, as we're taught the gospel correctly, we have to accept and turn to it. We have to do it. We have to respond to it. And so the next verse, 32, it says, And they spake the word of the Lord unto him with all that were in his house. So here you have the teaching of the gospel to teach them about the Messiah and to teach them what they had to do to become children of God. And then in verse 33, and he took them the same hour of the night. Now that was after midnight now, after he had taught them. He took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, immediately. Now we'll get to baptism in a few moments, but I wanted to point this out to you that working the works of God goes beyond faith or belief. Faith only is not taught in the New Testament. Here's something else that we must be involved in doing to become Christians that is not belief or faith. It's another action, and it's called repentance. And so let's look at that for a moment. In Acts chapter 17, and looking at verse 30, there it says, The times of ignorance therefore God overlooked, but now he commandeth men that they should all everywhere repent. And verse 31, inasmuch as he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. So repentance is something that is different than belief. And faith only is not a doctrine taught in the New Testament. We must also repent. If we don't repent, we're going to perish, as Luke 13:3 very clearly points out. Then a person... And so the question is to you this morning, if faith only is correct, then can a person be saved without repenting? Well, not according to these scriptures. Next thing we find is confession. Let's go to Romans 10 very quickly. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. And this passage is quoted a lot to try to teach faith only. It says, Because if you will confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, shall believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Again, many like to take this passage and to exclude all others, but we have to take all of the New Testament on this teaching. And dear listener, confession is something that's different than belief or repentance. We can see that right here. He says you have to believe unto righteousness, and with your mouth you make confession unto salvation. Well, that's something different than repentance. So now we have three different things that we must do if we're going to be saved: believing the truth, believing that truth that we have, repenting of our sins, a change of mind, changing our ways to do God's will, and confessing the name of Christ as the Messiah, our Lord and Savior, before men. Repentance is a command, and confession is a command beyond faith. Faith only is not taught in the Bible, dear listener. You'll never find it. The last thing we find before we can become Christians is baptism. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. When the kingdom was established, we find that the first complete gospel sermon was preached, and people were pricked in their hearts, finding out they had crucified the Christ. And after Peter convicted them of that, in verse 37, they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said unto them, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Many today stumble at this command. They say it is after you are saved that you're baptized. That's not what the inspired apostle Peter says. He says it's before your sins are washed away. People today tell us, and they teach and tell us, that it is simply a spiritual baptism, while Jesus shows it is a water spirit birth. In John 3 and verse 5, when he talks about the new birth, it consists of two elements, water and spirit, but it's one baptism. They say it is sprinkling, pouring, or immersion, while the Holy Spirit shows it to be immersion in water. Very clear passages like Acts 8, verses 36 through 38, Romans 6, verses 3 through 6, showing it to be a burial. In fact, baptism means immersion in the Greek. It doesn't mean sprinkling or pouring. And down through the centuries, man decided to start doing sprinkling and pouring. But dear listener, there's no authority from the inspired Word of God to do that. It's always immersion. People say today that, well, you know, baptism is an outward sign of an inward change, while inspired writing tells us that that's just not the case, but it actually puts us into Christ. Passages such as Galatians 3, 26 and 27, and Ephesians 2, 22 and 23, and 1 Corinthians 12, 2, Ephesians 5, 23. These are just a few passages that show us that this is how we get into Christ, where all spiritual blessings are found. And that being in Christ is the same thing as being in His church that you read about in the New Testament. Ephesians 1, 3, we're told that all spiritual blessings are found in Christ, in His body, the church. People today say baptism doesn't save you, but God says it does in 1 Peter 3, verse 21. And I would encourage you to go study that, 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. Then we're not saved eternally after we do these things, because then after we repent, believe, repent, confess, and are baptized into Christ, dear listener, we have to remain faithful. We have to do the will of God. We have to be faithful unto death to receive that crown of life, Romans 2:10. We have to endure to the end in order to be saved, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22. And as I said earlier, we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians 2 and verse 12. So in closing this morning, I want to ask you again, my friend, are you a Christian by God's standards? Not what you may have been taught, not what the majority might believe, but what the New Testament. Have you actually purified your souls in your obedience to the truth? Read 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. That's 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. The only way we can purify our souls is obeying the truth. That we can't obey the doctrines and commandments of men, but only the truth. And if you haven't done that, then I would encourage you to study these verses that we've been dealing with this morning with you. And if you would like to discuss any of these, again, please feel free to call us at 816-279-4737. And we will do our best to get these scriptures to you and to discuss them if you would prefer, because we're interested in following the truth and only the truth, because God warns us not to add to or take away. Thank you again for listening to Bible Talk presented by the County Line Church of Christ, and you have a wonderful day.